Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. This coming Friday is the birthday of one of our greatest presidents, Abraham Lincoln. One of the things that I love about Lincoln was his sense of humor. Lincoln laughed at himself, and especially at his own appearance. He was reportedly a very plain-looking man. I particularly like this story about Lincoln, which he told on himself. He said, "Sometimes I feel like the ugly man who met an old woman traveling through a forest. The old woman said, 'You're the ugliest man I ever saw.' 'I can't help it,' said the ugly man. 'No, I guess not,' said the woman, 'but at least you could do is stay home.'" It takes a great deal of character to laugh at yourself like that. And that's why I like Abraham Lincoln. We thank God for men like Lincoln. He made a significant impact on history. Nevertheless, his significance is dwarfed by a simple carpenter who lived in a little town of Nazareth 2,000 years ago. To paraphrase Robert W. Young's, human beings have always praised and honored certain people in their own generation. But Jesus, they've considered as an object of devotion. People recite poems about Paul Revere, but they sing hymns about Jesus. People construct monuments in memory of their statesmen, but they construct communion tables in memory of Jesus. Before kings and queens, men and women, they bow and they curtsy, but before Jesus, they kneel in prayer. Our lesson for today from Mark's Gospel illustrates why Jesus captured the devotion of the people of his time. It was the Sabbath. Jesus and his disciples had been in the synagogue where Jesus healed a man with an unclean spirit. We talked about that last week. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon Peter and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So Jesus went to her. He took her by the hand, he helped her up. And Mark tells us the fever left her and she began to wait on them. Well, so much for the role of women in that time. She began to wait on them. No rest for the weary. She was well, so she was able to fill her expected role in the household. But of course, the point of the story is that Jesus healed her as he healed many others. It didn't take long for word to get around about Jesus' wondrous acts of casting out demons and healing the sick. That evening, Mark says, after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town, in fact, gathered at the door, we're told. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. Well, the reason they waited until sunset, of course, is because it was the Sabbath, and pious people wouldn't travel outside of their homes on the Sabbath. But they came as soon as they could. They wanted to be near Jesus. The Gospel of Mark, there are 10 consecutive stories that tell about Jesus healing people of various diseases and conditions. It is a significant part of the Gospel's message. Where Jesus is, there is healing. Sometimes that healing is physical. The esteemed Bible scholar, Dr. William Barclay, says that Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from what the Talmud called a burning fever. It was and still is very prevalent in that particular part of Galilee, says Dr. Barclay. The Talmud actually lays down the methods of dealing with this illness. A knife made wholly of iron was tied by a braid of hair to a thorn bush. And then for 4 days, one would recite one verse a day from Exodus chapter 3, verses 2-5. And on the fourth day, the bush was to be cut down. And a certain magical formula was pronounced. And thus, the cure was supposed to be achieved. It's noteworthy, I think, that Jesus completely disregards all the paraphernalia of popular magic. And with a gesture and a word, he's able to heal. He doesn't need the magic formula. He doesn't need the magic instruments. All Jesus needs is to say the word, and there is healing. Sometimes that healing is physical. Jesus heals. I don't have any doubt about that. Trust him when you're hurting, just as much as when you trust him when you're feeling healthy. No one is ever sorry for praying and trusting, even if physical healing never comes. Jesus heals. Sometimes the healing is physical. Sometimes the healing is emotional. There are people who carry around hurts that last a lifetime. Their friends and family say, get over it. It's been 20 years. Let it go. They know with their brain that they should let it go, if only they could. It would be better for them if they could. But somehow, the hurt just doesn't heal. So I have a suggestion for those folk. Let it go. Turn it over to Jesus. Pray daily for his healing power. I ran across something recently that some of you might find helpful in seeking healing for your emotional pain. Tanya Marie Lehrman is a PhD, a Stanford psychological anthropologist. She wrote a book titled When God Talks Back. For her book, she studied evangelical Christians who claim to have two-way conversations with God. She discovered in her research that these believers had three prayer techniques in common. First of all, they used imagination. When praying Psalm 23, for example, they not only saw the Lord as an actual shepherd, but also felt themselves lying down in green pastures and being led beside still waters. They used their imaginations to make the scripture real. The second technique she discovered was that they used emotion. While immersed in Psalm 23, for example, while walking through the valley of the shadow of death, they recalled losing someone they loved. Letting themselves re-experience that sorrow made the scripture so personal to them. The final prayer technique she found was that they used connection. They imagined God as their shepherd, walking beside them through the valley and having an actual conversation. That's when they said God spoke to them. You might try that in times of prayer. Imagination, emotion, and connection. Of course, hurts are not always from the past. Sometimes we need help getting through current situations. I once read of a mother with an adopted teenage daughter. The girl had been through a great deal of emotional damage and was doing her best to spread her hurt around by verbally abusing her adopted mother. When things were at their worst, this mother would sit on a meditation cushion, light a candle in the darkness, and wrap herself up in what she came to call her prayer shawl. With the help of these concrete aids, the mother was able to continue loving someone who'd become very difficult to love. We all have to find what works for us. But the testimony of the scripture this morning is that Jesus heals. It's not an easy subject, but healing can come when we bring our hurts to Jesus, whether they be physical hurts or emotional hurts. At times, the healing Jesus brings is relational. Relationships are so delicate, whether they're relationships at the office, at school, or our primary relationships at home. One night at the dinner table, a wife commented to her husband, "When we were first married, you took the small piece of steak and gave me the larger. Now you take the large one and give me the smaller. You don't love me anymore." "Nonsense, darling," replied the husband. "You just cook better now." It's easy to joke about marital problems, but they are a source of heartache to many, many adults, and a crushing blow to the many children who are affected by those issues. There was a study done years ago in Psychology Today. It was a study of marriages that last. Most studies are done on why marriages come apart, but this study was on why marriages last. Some of the conclusions were surprising. For example, this research showed that for both husbands and wives, the most important factor for marital success was when each could say, "My spouse is my best friend." I know that's true for all partnerships. Our partner is our best friend. If you want your relationship to last, I encourage you to invite Jesus into that relationship. Pray for your partner. Pray for your children. Give God an open invitation to take up residence in your household. It will make a difference. When Jesus is present, there is healing. That's clear from our scripture this morning. Simon Peter's mother-in-law discovered that. And for the past 2,000 years, millions and millions of other people have discovered it as well. Whether it is physical healing, emotional healing, or the healing of a relationship, we simply need to trust Jesus. Healing does not always come as we would choose, but a life of constant prayer will reassure us that we are not alone in our fight and our struggle. Amen.